The point's still in there.
Nanny scratched her head. I could probably get the point out, no problem, she said, but I don't know about the poison. We could tie a tourniquet round the affected part.
Her neck would be favourite, then.
Granny sat down with her chin on her knees. Her shoulders ached.
Poof, got to get me breath back, she said.
Images swam in the forefront of her mind. Here it came again. She knew there were such things as alternative futures, after all. That's what the future meant. But she'd never heard of alternative pasts. She could remember having just gone through the stones, if she concentrated. But she could remember other things. She could remember being in bed in her own house. But that was it. It was a house, not a cottage. But she was her. They were her own memories. She had a nagging feeling that she was asleep right now. Dully, she tried to focus on Nanny Ogg. There was something comfortingly solid about Githa Ogg. Nanny had produced a penknife.
What the hell are you doing?
Gone to put it out of its misery, Esme.
Doesn't look miserable to me.
Nanny Ogg's eyes gleamed speculatively.
Could soon arrange that, Esme.
Don't go torturing it just because it's lying down, Githa.
Damn well ain't waiting for it to stand up again, Esme.
Githa!
Well, they used to carry off babbies. I ain't having that again, the thought of someone carrying off our pusey.
Even elves aren't that daft. Never seen such a sticky child in all me life.
Granny pulled gently at Diamanda's eyelid.
Out cold, she said. Off playing with the fairies.
She picked the girl up.
Come on, I'll carry her. You bring Mr. Tinkerbell.
That was brave of you, carrying her over your shoulder, said Nanny, with them elves firing arrows too.
And it meant less chance of one hitting me too, said Granny.
Nanny Ogg was shocked.
What? You never thought that, did you?
Well, she'd been hit already. If I'd been hit too, neither of us had got out, said Granny simply.
But that's a bit heartless, Esme.
Heartless it may be, but headless it ain't. I've never claimed to be nice just to be sensible. No need to look like that. Now, are you coming or are you going to stand there with your mouth open all day?
Nanny closed her mouth and then opened it again to say,
What you going to do?
Well, do you know how to cure her?
Me? No.
Right, me neither. But I know someone who might know, she said. And we can shove him in the dungeons for now. Lots of iron bars down there, that should keep him quiet.
How'd he get through?
He was holding on to me. I don't know how it works. Maybe the stone force opens to let humans through or something. Just so long as his friends stay inside, that's all I'm bothered about.
Nanny heaved the unconscious elf onto her shoulders without much effort. As has been pointed out earlier in the Discworld Chronicles, entire agricultural economies have been based on the lifting power of little old ladies in black dresses.
"Smells worse than the bottom of a goat's bed," she said. "It's a bath for me when I get home."
"Oh, dear," said Granny. "It gets worse, don't it?"
What is magic? Then there is the witch's explanation, which comes in two forms depending on the age of the witch. Older witches hardly put words to it at all, but may suspect in their hearts that the universe really doesn't know what the hell is going on and consists of a zillion, trillion, billion possibilities, and could become any one of them if a trained mind rigid with quantum certainty was inserted in the crack and twisted. That if you really had to make someone's hat explode, all you needed to do was twist into that universe where a large number of hat molecules all decide at the same time to bounce off in different directions. Younger witches, on the other hand, talk about it all the time and believe it involves crystals, mystic forces, and dancing about without your drawers on. Everyone may be right, all at the same time. That's the thing about quantum. It was early morning. Sean Ogg was on guard on the battlements of Lancre Castle, all that stood between the inmates and any mighty barbarian hordes that might be in the area. He enjoyed the military life. Sometimes he wished a small horde would attack just so he could save the day. He daydreamed of leading an army into battle and wished the king would get one. A brief scream indicated that Hodges Arg was giving his charges their morning finger. Sean ignored the noise. It was part of the background hum of the castle. He was passing the time by seeing how long he could hold his breath. He had any amount of ways of passing the time, since guard duty in Lancre involved such an awful lot of it. There was getting the nostrils really clean, that was a good one, or farting tunes, or standing on one leg,